The following podcast is a production of the Logan Park Neighborhood Association.
It's a beautiful day in this neighborhood, a beautiful day for a neighbor. Would you be mine? Could you be mine?
Are you aware of what's going on in your neighborhood?
You're never too old or too young to get involved.
Who runs neighborhood associations? Who decides what they do and who decides to include me in it?
The truth is, it's really simple. It's just members who live in the neighborhood that want to make their neighborhood better. They generally have board members to help facilitate the ease of meetings and events within the neighborhood.
Neighborhood associations are hugely beneficial, but they're underutilized. Being a part of yours is an extremely easy way to make an immediate impact on your community and run your city.
Logan Park Neighborhood Association wants to find ways to improve our neighborhood so that everyone's quality of life in Logan Park is better. Our healthy community starts where neighbors take pride in their living environment, respecting and supporting one another regardless of age, gender, race, or creed. A good community is cohesive, safe, confident, prosperous. It's free of crime, providing a high quality of life for everyone that lives there. Today, our guest is Jack Whitehurst. Jack has been working with neighborhoods for years. Here is how he describes his work.
Well, I'm a neighborhood specialist with the City of Minneapolis Department of Neighborhood and Community Relations. And essentially what that means primarily is that I work with a number of neighborhoods throughout the city, primarily at this point in Northeast Minneapolis and also in the Calhoun Isles area of Minneapolis, about 16 neighborhoods overall. And I work with them to support their efforts to coalesce around neighborhood priorities and strategies and then help them actually implement some of the projects that they come up with the use of city funds.
Well, that's perfect because your experience then hopefully will be able to answer some of the questions. You know, Logan Park Neighborhood Association wants to build healthy neighborhood. I think most neighborhood associations want to do that. So in your experience, what does a good, healthy neighborhood look like?
Well, first I'd say that it'll look different to different people. For example, some people prefer living in a neighborhood with high density, a larger array of amenities, and more dynamic flow of changes, if you will. On the other hand, there are people who prefer a quieter, more stable environment with just enough amenities to really meet their needs. In most neighborhoods that I've worked with throughout the city, people look for a residence that meets their needs. They want infrastructure that enables them to get around in a safe and reliable manner. They want amenities that enable them to have a fulfilling, active, and healthy lifestyle. They want to be around people with whom they share common interests and a community identity that they resonate with, whatever they may perceive that to be. Common interest could be around a whole range of different things. So it doesn't mean all people are the same that they interact and connect with. It means that they share some common kind of goals in life, common interests within their geographic community. So I think that's some of the things you would look for in a healthy neighborhood.
Right, and be able to measure those by those kinds of needs or preferences. But in the past, Jack, most neighborhood relationships were based upon, say, for example, religious connections or ethnic languages, school affiliations. But today, neighborhoods are different, and they're much more diverse, and it's harder to build community, is it not?
You know, obviously, those past connections and relationships still do exist, by and large. Some are as strong or even stronger than ever. In fact, there are many new and diverse connections that people have today around such things as leisure, environmental, and other social interests. The dynamic in all of this, I think, may provide new challenges to neighborhood groups as people are pulled in many different directions, whether that be family commitments, work schedules, leisure pursuits, etc. The things that bring neighborhood residents together today includes some basic things that have been part of the equation for a long time. Interest in having a safe neighborhood or environment, an opportunity for a range of housing as people's lives evolve, good infrastructure to enable various ways to get around, adequate services for those most in need, good recreation and cultural opportunity. In more recent years, you could add to that things such as environmental sustainability, engagement around development pressures that are occurring all around us, creating a welcoming environment for newer and more diverse residents. You know, obviously I could go on, but there are new challenges for sure, but a lot of them are around really basic human needs and desires.
So the city of Minneapolis has been working hard to encourage neighborhood development. Do you have programs specifically to help neighborhood organizations lead their communities to be better neighbors and citizens? What are some of those programs that you could mention?
Well, first of all, city government as a whole, I think, is very interested in encouraging neighborhood development. Most of its staff live in the city, and they take their work very seriously. Although, as you can imagine, they represent a broad set of skills and interests and priorities, just as you'd expect in any large, diverse city. The Department of Neighborhood and Community Relations, where I work, coordinates most of the direct funding to neighborhood groups through really two programs, the Community Participation Program and the Neighborhood Revitalization Program. And in the Neighborhood Revitalization Program, that was a fairly substantial amount of money that allowed neighborhoods to do a lot of engagement, develop a plan, and then have resources they could direct towards actually implementing that plan. The Community Participation Program, which is newer, is more focused on engaging people in the neighborhood and also trying to engage a diverse representation of those people. There's not as much in the way of resources to actually implement projects and programs, but there's a fairly substantial amount of money to do some of that engagement and work with other city departments on projects that may be coming up in their area that will have, you know, a major impact on the community. There are representatives, though, from other city departments that encourage neighborhood development in a whole variety of ways. Some examples are, you know, at monthly meetings of neighborhood groups, you'll often find staff from the police department or public works, sometimes the health department, any of a range of the city's agencies, community planning, economic development department being another example. So the city is often engaged with neighborhoods, and I think one of the challenges for neighborhood groups is being able to get a good representation of people at meeting at a time when clearly there's a lot of things that pull at people's lives that make it harder for them to, you know, schedule attendance at some of these meetings.
Right. That is a challenge, I think, of every neighborhood association. You obviously, Jack, at the city level, have experienced success in the neighborhood associations. Otherwise, you know, there wouldn't be funding for it. Do you have any stories of how some of your neighborhoods that you work with have really impacted the neighborhood?
Well, let's take Logan Park, for example. Over the years, through its city funding, both NRP and CPP, the programs I mentioned earlier, Logan Park has utilized funds to provide home improvement loans and grants, to organize volunteers to help fix up homes of seniors and disabled people. It's supported a community health program that has offered a variety of initiatives to the community. It's promoted various arts initiatives, including the Northeast Arts District, which seems to have grown quite a bit over the years. They've supported a variety of upgrades to the park. The most recent one was a shade structure at the wading pool at Logan Park. They've supported youth outreach efforts. They've invested money into some of the bike paths that have come through the area. They've supported streetscape enhancements and lighting, and they do an annual ongoing neighborhood volunteer cleanup. So those are just kind of a few examples right there within the Logan Park neighborhood. And as you spread citywide, it can get more diverse in terms of helping seniors with a variety of needs, doing youth programming both at the parks and at schools and other locations, working with businesses on streetscape improvements, that sort of thing in the business nodes. So there's projects going on all over the city that have been initiated by neighborhoods, and neighborhood organizations have been a key, I think, testing ground, if you will, for some new concepts and ways to do things. So I think when neighborhoods do well, I think the whole city does well.
I appreciate that, and I'm sure the board of Logan Park will be happy to hear your acknowledgement of some of their accomplishments.
You know, if you're involved for a year or two, it may not seem much, but when you take it over the span of a couple of decades, and I've now been working 28 years with these programs, you really do get a picture of the various ways neighborhood residents and their organizations have an impact on the environment around them.
So, Jack, with all of your experience, let's say you're going to now write a book about everything you know about neighborhoods. What would be your main emphasis in that book? What would be your main thesis?
Listen to people who live in the neighborhood. Don't assume you as a city staff or leader know what's best for people. Discussion, disagreements, and tension can be healthy if a diverse spectrum of the neighborhood is involved and people are treated with respect, and the process to identify priorities for a healthy neighborhood is both fair and thorough. So I think that's the key thing for me, is people need to involve a diversity of opinions, be prepared for a little bit of disagreement and tension now and then, but structure the process in a way that's fair and reaches some priorities that most people can gather around and move forward on.
Thanks to Jack Whitehurst for joining us today. More podcasts coming in the future will keep you connected to Logan Park neighborhoods.